Let's just keep it present. I well, prayer request I had, I forgot to ask. Have a stepbrother. He has stage 4 cancer in his kidneys, in his bones, and he's already had a stroke. So just remembering, they said that they sent him home. So just remember. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 48, so let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful, Lord, and thankful to you for all that you do for us. God, you promised that you would never leave us, not forsake us. Lord, let us believe the words that is written and follow after them. God, let us stay strong in your words. Lord, for all that we have, it is right here, written in your word. Just let us seek it and find it. We ask you to touch every heart, Lord, that is present this morning. God, open up these words as we read. Lord, bless them. Bless those in the Sunday school classes. Bless Brother Dale as he prays and meditates to bring what you have given unto him to bless our souls. God, ever be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. God is known in her palaces for a refuge.
For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together.
They saw it, so they marveled, they were troubled, and hastened away.
Fear took hold upon them, and pain as a woman prevailed.
Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind.
As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord.
We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple.
According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments.
Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof.
Mark ye well the bulwarks, consider the palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For God is our God, God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Amen. God bless us.
Let's turn over to number 404. All I want to do is love him. All I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise him. And I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love him. Love his holy name. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. paid the price of redemption. On the cross of Calvary, so every day my heart will praise Him, and I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy name. Oh, all I want to do is love Him. I'm so glad I feel His love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise Him, and I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love Him, love His holy name. Amen. We can never give Him enough praise, can we? Let's look over number 418. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. For He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Oh, my down before Him, love and adore Him, for His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Yes, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. For He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. This morning, didn't He? He woke us up. Let's look over number 458. Sing that little chorus. The tomb is now empty. The tomb now is empty. The stone is rolled away. And Christ is alive in my heart. And death, which is conquered in me, hath no part, for Christ is alive in my heart. Yes, the tomb now is is conquered, in me hath no part, for Christ is alive in my heart.
Amen. Let's look over.
464.
I am one of the few.
I am one of the few. One of the few, and by faith in God's word I can claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition strong, for the bride there's a way provided. If I plan to go through, just to hope will not do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word and believe that I'm one of the few. Oh, yes, I'm one of the few. One of the few, and by faith in God's word I can claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition strong, for the bride there's a way provided. If I plan to go through, just to hope will not do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word and believe that I'm one of the few. Look over to 470.
I am blessed.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. And when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, in the morning, and I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed.
Amen. Let's turn over to 473. The move is on.
The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. And I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees. And I know, I know, I know. The move is on. So move on, brother. Move on, sister, for this is a moving. must move a little closer. Where the streams are flowing, move on, brother, move on.
Can't stand still, we got to move on, don't we? Let's all stand, we'll change order of the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Yes, I want to see you.
See him, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Served him a long time. I'd really love to see him. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1. Are we back on, Josh? We went off or something. Okay. Ephesians 1, and we'll go to Genesis 2. We're glad to have got a visitor back there with us. And we always say when you come one time, you're a visitor. Two times, you're part of us. So there was a young man back there with us visiting today. So do that. Just remember now, everybody standing up? Are you wide awake? Tuesday night will be service this week. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, not Wednesday night. Okay? For this week only, Tuesday. Are you putting it up? I figured he done snatched it up. But for this week, because of Thanksgiving falling and all, and we'll have Tuesday night service instead of Wednesday night service, okay? Remember that. All right. And then remember, the Lord willing, next Sunday, Brother Forney will be with us to minister for us for the Sunday services. Remember that. Sister Scoggins, Sister Jeannie, she's going in for a surgery on this coming Monday, so remember that. And Wade is over at Brother Burley's ministering for him today, so pray the Lord would bless them. We had a real good time last night at the fellowship meeting and all. We didn't get to fellowship after because Sister Kathy's mother, they called us and told her she was in the hospital, so we ran back as quick as we could for them. But they had a real good time. The brother done a wonderful job ministering. I'm very pleased to hear him. Wade knew of the brother, Brother West Coast. He's from down in, I don't know, but I knew Wade met him at West Palm Beach. I think that's where he's from. But anyhow, he done a marvelous job of ministering. We had a good time in the Lord. All right? Anything else? Just remember, Terrence has announced the time on the for in December when we'll be having our time together for Christmas, not Santa Claus, but Christmas. We eat and fellowship together and all and just, you know, have a good time doing that, all right? So let's just pray and read our scriptures. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you're you. And that's a wonderful thought, Lord, to think about that a creator would so much reveal and join together with mankind that he would create that it would not be just a world full of zombies or falling off of a log like a polywog or something in evolution, but it would be the great eternal that would reveal himself to his creation. And we love you and we thank you. We ask you to just bless us now in understanding. Open our eyes, Lord, to thy word that we may hear you. And we just pray you'd be with Sister Kathy's mother there. Let everything be all right. Be with all the other sick among us. You promised it, so we believe it. It's not how good we are. It's what we can believe of what you say. And you promised it that you'd send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. Thank you for all things. Have your way now. As we read your word, you come and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians. I've told you now that we're reading this scripture every time because in this scripture of these verses we're reading is the entire plan of God before the world, the coming down, and the happenings in mankind upon earth, and climaxing in the day that we're living to understand it. All right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all prudence and wisdom. Wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, how? After the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that, see, notice that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We won't read the other one because we'll get to that this afternoon. You may be seated. The Lord have his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been trying for a while to get into seeing God's plan and purpose, and we covered a lot of it this past Wednesday, and we pray that the Lord would bless and open our eyes to where we can see the word of the Lord as it's being revealed. And like I was thinking as I was praying, what a wonderful thing to think about, that the great eternal God that we can't even think about or comprehend any thoughts whatsoever hardly about him because he's so great, but yet that he would come down and reveal himself to mankind. Now, that's a wonderful thought. That's, getting that thought and the point of in mind. I changed the message this morning because we'll go what we can and then go on. I told Brother Joe, I said, just follow numbers because I don't know exactly what. But, see, I want us to think about something as we begin to come toward the form of what we would call the earth. You know, we've been for about 13 messages now, more or less in heavenly places, and talking about before the foundation of the world and how that God had his plan and purpose, and that according to Christ the mystery of God revealed, he was going to achieve it. You know, this is not just haphazardly. It's not that we just, well, we just fell off of a log somewhere, that we floated down off of some atom that busted and something happened and all of that. No, there's a whole lot more to it. There's a whole lot more to it than just mankind as, you know, coming down and being people and doing things. And some of us are accepting God as a way, and others are rejecting it and all. And it's just a, you know, a little haphazard point or something taking place. We're not that. This is God's plan and purpose. And remember Wednesday night we were talking about his eternal plan. Now, an eternal plan means that you can never have an addition. It's eternal. What can you add to eternal? And it can never have a beginning, because if it did, it's eternal. So it's not that he was just sitting up there all alone, you know, and he thought, well, you know, I'm just lonely. I just think I'll just start creating something. You know, and I'll just make trees, and I'll make this, and I'll make that, and I'll do these things. And then after a while, he said, well, I'm still lonely, you know. I think I'll just maybe make a man. No. Remember what we've been through. He did not gain attributes after coming to the earth or the creation or the doings. He's always had those attributes. Those attributes are his thoughts, the prophet said, and his thoughts are eternal. Now, you can't add anything to eternity. See, if it is, it's not eternal. All right? And see, then that way, for heaven's sake, we cannot exhaust the Word of God, because the Word of God is eternal. All right? So then we love it the way the prophet says that there'll be a message of cheer after this life is over, and down through the endless ages, it'll still be a partaking of the Word of God. It will still be a learning process of learning about him, because how could you know all about an eternal being? So you're going to have to find out some way to become eternal with the being, right? Because that's the key. Remember, no man can call Jesus the Christ what? Except it be by the Holy Ghost itself. All right? So then in that we can, you know, think about a little by way of the prophet messenger bringing the message to us, that we can even go back into, as he would say, the back part of God's mind and, you know, come forth with an understanding that is far beyond any. I was listening to the token message. I listened to it a lot as I'm out hunting and doing, you know, and in that token message, he said there was never a time that this message could have come forth. He's talking about his message, the end time and the opening of the Word of God. All right, there was great times, great revealing, great thing, but this is the consummation, ever how you say it, the finishing up of all things. All right, and when it does, it means you're going to have to come out with a perfect word. Like I said there Wednesday night, I believe that we have the Word of God by, how did he say it? The revelation and the incomplete, or the right revelation or translation, I believe. Not that just we just say, well, we just only read the King James. No. No, we read other things. I do too. I compare things. I've got one book that I really love that it's got 26 translations. I compare a lot of the things from one translator to another translator to see if they hold that point of what I'm dealing with, you know. And I enjoy doing those things, all right? But see, by coming down to the end, then we are here with the revelation of God's Word, as a brother was expressing last night. See, that we're not here just playing around. We have a reason for being here. We are the bride. You know the way I've always taught you. We are the final immorphe, or form of God, to the Gentile dispensation. All right? And in doing that, then the bride becomes, what did the prophet call her? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? Now, we've given those quotes. We've been through those things. Somebody on the internet don't have them. Call me, write me, or write me, don't call me, because and people call me, I can't hear too good, and, you know, best thing to do is just send me an email. I'll eventually get it. I'm not too good on getting them, but I will eventually get it. So you just send it to the church. We'll try to answer it. Won't answer no questions. I don't do that. If you just need a quote or something, I'll try my best to find that and answer why I said something, but I'm not going to answer no questions. So don't say, I want to know about this. No, no, no. Just say, you said something. Where'd you get it? I'll be glad to give it to you. Be glad for you to read it. All right. We've been talking about back before the foundation of the world, as I say over and over, that the first time that Brother Branham ran in, that black man preaching, you know, and there he was, everybody else is on earth, and here he was up in heaven, and he come down the horizontal rainbow. Well, Brother Branham really enjoyed it. He started off, and the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy and all of that, and he come down to earth. All right? See, that's what we're doing. We're seeing the Word of God unfolding. Amen. The complete plan and purpose of God. And the, what was that? As we were talking about Wednesday. To make himself known. All right. But that's not the whole story, to just make himself known. The story was to have offspring. You remember that Wednesday? To have offspring like himself. All right? And having those offsprings, we gave it to you Wednesday of questions and answers in 53, to have offsprings as part of him. Now, remember how we tried to explain it, God. I try to make it to where that you'll follow the line. When we talk about God condescending, that we use the prophet, he said, there he was, he dwelled alone. He said, then all at once, that out of God came forth the word, the logos, the speech, to create. He said, that's not another God. That's God in another form. All right? Condescending to so that we can understand. All right? Then a son of God is God in another form. That's why Jesus would be called a son. See, the son of God. All right? You say, well, he never called himself that. He did, but yet not in the verses, I am a son of God, you know. All right. He dealt mostly with the son of man during his life because that was the dispensation or time. All right. Now, then to come down to the earth, we'll have to make some great jumps in some of it, and we'll probably won't get there this morning at all because I want you to think about something. I've mentioned it a couple of times, and I believe now, because I looked it up to try to find it, and I can't find exact wording, but Brother Henry Green used to make a statement, and I really enjoyed it. He said that God started his church the way he wanted it. All right? And he said he wants his church the way he started it. All right? See, he wants it now the way he started it. All right. Then we're going to talk about this morning God's plan, our purpose. And in doing that, then he had a plan and purpose in unveiling himself to come down and bringing it to that position that, you know, and he would, as he would start. Now, it's silly, you know, I mean, I hate to say stupid or whatever, you know, but man's argued, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, if you believe in evolution, the egg. Okay? Right. If you believe in evolution, egg. Right. If you believe in creative evolution, God didn't create eggs that hatched out to make chickens. Right. He created chickens. Right. All right? He didn't create acorns to make an oak tree. He created an oak tree. All right? He started it the way he wanted it. Okay? Now, in starting it the way he wanted it, then that would be his plan and purpose. All right. So then God's first creation, Brother Brown speaks funny, doesn't he? He said God's first creation The first creation was God himself. Well, you know, there's no such thing as a beginning of a God, regardless of what you think your God is. I surely would hope you wouldn't think that your God had a beginning, because if he did, he ain't a God. All right? We know the word God and objects of worship and things like that, but we also know it's a true word. All right? So his first creation was God himself. And he never started as a baby. Right? I know what Brother Branham says. He said that that Logos, that Son of God, that theophany that he started with, that it was another form of God. He said it was like a child playing before the Father's door. But that's not like a baby out there playing, you know, and the things. And we want to play with words. No. He was the full Word of God. That's why Brother Branham would say that you and I bypassed the theophany, but said he came in theophany, a word body. He came in the full word body. All right? So because that was the beginning. All right? Now, what is the mystery, or what is the statement to the Laodicean church age? That he's the beginning of the creation of God. Now, we know that comes on over into flesh, right? We know that. We've got the quotes for that. We're waiting until we get to the point to bring it out. The biggest portion of the quotes deals with Jesus Christ coming forth from the womb of a mother by the word and things. All right. Now, but still, it's the beginning of the creation of God was when God began to move over to where we could understand him. All right. And as he began to condescend, he went from eternal, self-existing. Then he became the Word, Logos, Theophany, whatever words you want to use, those fancy. You know, we think we're something because we know all of these great big words. You know, we didn't know what a Theophany was till we heard of the prophet. We didn't know what a Logos was. We didn't know what those things was. And we think we're real smart because we can quote those things. You know, well, you don't see me quoting them to a theologian but I will talk to him about it. Because I'll remind him all of that comes down to being the Word. And he's got that much sense if you don't read Scofield. I'll be glad to put you in the footnotes of Scofield to where he covers the Logos as the Son of God. Why? Because it doesn't mean a beginning of a person. It just means a coming into being of understanding to where that you can understand God. Because how else would we understand him? All right? Now, in doing that, when he comes down, he gives birth, Brother Branham said, on questions and answers on Genesis. He said he gave birth to his son. Now, he's talking about the Word. Amen. He's not talking about there, the Jesus Christ in the human flesh. He's talking about the Word. Read it. All right? That Word is the Son of God. Right? Not a son as we talk about having a beginning. Well, a son has a beginning. I've got a message that maybe part this afternoon. Anything has a beginning has an end to it. So we got to make sure everything comes out to the right form to understand that anything that had a beginning has got to have an end to it.
That's right.
Amen. All right? We know that so much to leave in Brother Branham on the future home deals with the body of Jesus Christ. You know, that body had to be redeemed, not because it was sinful. No, but because it had a beginning.
Right.
So anything has a beginning has to have an ending to it. All right? So then we got to find out how everything can bring that eternal life. Because that's our point of thinking. All right? Now, we talked about this great eternal God. We've been over that. To revealing himself. Then he started bringing it down into revealing his attributes. I got a little thought last night, and, you know, I've always told you, you know, you're sitting listening to somebody preach, and, you know, and they just say something, and your mind goes, and you're not listening, because that's why I repeat myself a lot, because I know you're not listening, all right? I know you're not getting it, because your mind goes, boom, so, all right, so get it blooped back, you know, and listen. But I was sitting there thinking last night, I think, we talk about the attributes of God, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Healer, Savior, Redeemer. I'm going to preach one of these days on the attributes of the bride or his offspring. Because the Bible can call him many things. I clipped on that Wednesday just a little. See, in the Bible, he talks about a body. That's an attribute. In the Bible, he talks about a bride. That's an attribute. In the Bible, he talks about a wife. That's an attribute. Well, see, we ain't run out of something to preach. We've got about probably 20 more years onto this, and then we'll get on to something else, okay? Because I love the Word of God. It's eternal. All right. But just think with me now. That God himself trying to reveal himself, and as he does, all at once, it's not just totally making known himself. It is, but it's making known himself and where he's at,
right,
and what he's doing. All right? Now remember Wednesday night what we were talking about. Christ the mystery of God revealed. What did Brother Brown say? He said, she's part of the mystery, the bride,
right,
and must be revealed.
Right.
He said, part of the threefold mystery. Well, it's wonderful to talk about revealing God. You know, keep that in the right way, and you got a wonderful thing. You can go for 50 years preaching off of that. I have been. All right. But then what about talking about as he unveils himself and changing his form and how he condescends? And as he does, then the bride is part of the mystery. I thought the threefold mystery. What is the threefold mystery? All God poured into Christ. All Christ poured into the church. The third thing is what? Take her back to the Garden of Eden. All right. So she's part of the mystery. And Brother Branham, I didn't say it. He's the one that did. He said she must be revealed. All right. Like the brother was saying last night, quoting the prophet. When the bride realizes who she is, how many years have I been on that? And what she's here for. She'll be an invincible army when she realizes who she is and what she's here for and what she's doing. All right. You say, well, we heard that for 50 years. Well, how many years did Martin Luther preach on the just shall live by faith before God revealed it to him?
Right.
He had a few followers probably about his doctrines and ideas. But all at once, when God revealed the just shall live by faith, he had a world that followed him.
Right?
Right. They told him, wouldn't it? They said, don't you know the world going to be against him? He said, I want the world to know I'm against him. See, he had something that was real. That's why I told you that I enjoyed the brother the other Wednesday. And then I enjoyed last night because I enjoy people making not to just say bragging on whatever, but to bring the Word of God down to where that you can talk about it as being something personal. This is not to just come to church and be good and go and do. I've never had that thought in my mind. The day I have that in my mind, I'll quit. Because I know I lost the point and drive that came to me when I first heard of this message. This is not some new doctrine that we talk about around here. This is 50 years almost that we've been preaching on the Godhead and the bride and the seeing who she is and what's going on. All right? Because that's what I'm wanting you to see, who you are. Well, look like somebody can. All right, maybe 51 more years before we get it. All right. But you see, I'm just doing my part to try to bring the Word of God to you. To get you to see who you are, not see who I am. That doesn't do any good. You try to make me this or that or the other, that doesn't do you any good. But to try to make you what you are. Why can't we believe it that way? Come on, church. All right. But see, as God began to condescend downward, you use those words like logos, theophany speech and things a prophet would use to bringing it down into understanding. All right? And it would bring it down to where that we talked about the very soul of Almighty God as he came to earth. And as he came to earth to manifest himself upon the earth, then it was body, spirit, soul. The soul and spirit was eternal, Almighty God. The body was a creation by the Word, brought to pass by the prophets bringing the Word of the Old Testament, bringing that into manifestation. All right? So then he was Almighty God. Now, once that united with that flesh, now you can say body, spirit, and soul. Because you're understanding that the body was eventually made eternal in the resurrection. So now it's body, spirit, and soul, Almighty God. That's why these people with the River Jordan doctrine, that he wasn't God till the River Jordan, and he become God, and then God left him in the garden, and then God going to do it. Yeah. Plumb silly to try to talk about an eternal God like that. All right. But now what did he say? Did not Jesus, as we gave from the prophet, divine healing, 1954, Brother Branham refers to it, and he said, Jesus told the disciples, said, I knew you before the foundation of the world. Well, you know it says that about Jesus? Glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world. Well, that means there's got to be two of them because they're back there together. No, I don't mean there's two. That just means it's an understanding in the right way. The same God is here is the same God it was there.
Amen.
Like I always tell you, I tried one night for about an hour and a half to preach it on I come from God and went to God, and his sister that couldn't even write her own name hardly, she would never use a vacuum cleaner because she didn't know how to turn it on. I'm not throwing off on her. I'm just telling you that the point of what she was, and you knew her. On the way home that night, she said, Brother Dale, I caught it. I said, well, praise the Lord. She said, when you said he come from God and went to God, said it just dawned on me. He was God all the time. I sat there in the seat. I said, why didn't I let you preach tonight? It would have saved me an hour and a half of trying to talk about it. She summed it up in a few words what I tried an hour and a half to say. Because she's seen it. Did he come from God and he went to God? He's just God all the time. Well, why can't we just be that simple about it? To see that God never had a beginning and that his offspring then would have to be a part of him. Or if not, it would just be some creation that he created. And it's, as I said, the story is not that he created all of this and then one day he come down and just offers eternal life. Few people receives it and he's happy. Uh-uh. I ain't happy about that. I love the fact of my children, my offspring, and knowing who they are. Right? Very proud of my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Why? Because they're part of me. All right. But without my wife, they wouldn't be here. Well, see, that's the word of God. As I said, the bride, as we call her, the children of God, has got many attributes about her. That we could spend weeks on preaching about those attributes. Like Brother Dick likes that, where in Revelation it said, and his wife hath made herself ready. It doesn't say the bride has made herself ready. I told him last night at the fellowship meeting, I said, 57 years ago, I had a bride. I said, but today I got a wife. Amen. See, she's matured into the basis of becoming part of me.
Right.
You know, they say if you live together long enough, you start looking like. I always deal with Danny. He got to look like Joyce. You know. He don't like that. But it's the truth. See, but she becomes his wife. Not just a little bride. Even the Songs of Solomon. Have you ever studied the Songs of Solomon? Have you ever listened to Brother Howard Carroll preach? If you've ever heard Brother Howard Carroll preach twice, you've heard him preach on the Songs of Solomon. And I thoroughly enjoy it. You know there's a little sister in there? A little sister in the Songs of Solomon. And it says things about her showing she's young and, you know, tender and beginning. But then it says, what shall we do with her? It said, we'll build on her. You know, that's what happened down through the ages. You had a bride that started off, but then it went into the ground and comes back out. And you know what we build on? We're built on the foundation of apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. We're built on what they was in the book of Acts, but we're built upon what they were in the days of Martin Luther, the days of John Wesley, the days of the Pentecostal Azusa Street. We're built on those things. All right? Because we're doing it. And that's the point I'm wanting you to see. That we, the eternal life that I'm talking about now, not us as human beings. We were not back there as human beings. No. Get that out of your mind. Well, I feel like it. So did Napoleon. You know. Thought he'd been here somewhere else before. Get all that stupidity out of your mind and get out of reality, though. The prophet says we don't remember none of it. He said it was taken from us. All right? But he said if you wasn't back there in God in the beginning, you never will be back there. You never will be a part of God like that. I can't help it that he said them, made them statements. Well, I believe it's the truth. He said if your name wasn't written on the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world and written there before the foundation of the world, he said it'll never be written in that section. It can be in other sections and come forth, but not that. See, it's a serious matter to think about and to think about understanding the Godhead. We should be past the days, and listen, I believe it, but we should be past the days of saying, well, the Godhead is like a human being, you know. I'm a father, and I'm a son, and I'm a human. And all. That's wonderful. But we ought to be past that into the basis of seeing that this is the revealing of Almighty God.
Amen.
To reveal His offspring is not to reveal another God. Or another person. It's the same person. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes, amen.
It's not to reveal you. My wife never did like it. I tried to refer to her and brag about her. She never did like it. She still don't like it. You see a man bragging on his wife, I just snigger and walk off. I know he's henpecked. And he's doing what she says. Huh? Now, that's nothing to you to say, well, my wife is this and my wife. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, wake up. You know what I'm talking about? When a man, all he's doing is bragging about his wife, bragging about his wife. My wife don't like me to refer to it. You take an old nag horse and you bragging on it. It ain't worth him shooting. You can't ride the sucker. You can't do nothing with him. He'll throw you. He'll kick you like a mule. He'll kill you. But you take a real thoroughbred. You can take a child, and he's really a great horse. You can just set a child on it, and it'll just be so sweet. I fell in a hole one time leading a horse, fell in a tire, and you know what? That horse never stepped in that tire on me. It stepped all around me. It was my buddy. Huh? See? Okay, but listen. Let me get on to my thought. Huh? See, we come down through bringing it that, and this is all I want to bring is this point and then jump over to where we're at. That we come down to the basis, and we'll pick this up this afternoon, so we'll just come down to the basis of what we were talking about. That when Adam was created and brought into being, you know, as we would call it, then Eve was in Adam. We handle that real good of the natural flesh, don't we? You know, we put it there, and then we bring it into flesh, and then we bring it to the ribs, and we bring it to the things and all. But what about her being in Adam before the foundation of the world? How about them having the same theophany? How about where Brother Branham said, I gave them to you over and over if you want them. That he was in theophany, and he made you a theophany just like himself. Questions and answers in 1957. Paragraph 841. All right? Well, see, we've got that idea. My theophany's up in heaven. The Bible says if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, the instant we die, we go there. We are not up there and down here. That's the positive of God's mind. That's what's drawing us, just like this here. When you receive the new birth at faith, the headstone is pulling you. But you don't have it in manifestation. Right. See, then Adam, when he was created, Brother Brown said he was lonely. He said, because part of him was still in theophany, which was Eve. All right, he says the theophany is the soul. Okay. That theophany being the soul, when Adam was created, Eve was not in full manifestation. But remember then, the Genesis 1, 26 and 27 man is not just a man. It says, let them have dominion. Male and female created he them and called their name what? The Bible says Adam. What was Eve's name? Adam. What messed her up? She never got the name Eve until she sinned. Come on, read your Bible. When she sinned, she became what? Eve, which is what? The mother of all living. That's the definition of the word Eve. So when Eve done what she done, she had twins in her womb, right? The fall, the sin that happened. We'll get to those things. But think about it. The soul, Brother Brown said, it's in that man is that theophany, 279 Hebrews chapter 2. Now, we're going to jump a long ways because this is where I change the message. You know, Brother Brown said a minister ought to sit in his study. Well, it doesn't bother me. Now, don't think wrong. It doesn't bother me. I leave the door open. That's just me. I never close the door. If the door's closed, there's somebody in there with me. Don't knock. Or I'm in there asleep. Either way, leave it alone. All right? Because the door's wide open. It don't bother me. I've tried to explain gifts to people, and they, well, Brother Dale, I've got to get it by myself. Or I'm not throwing off on you now. I'm getting it right now, preachers, brothers. You don't get on to me about this. I'm just explaining myself. My study was right there next in the den. Well, you know what? I never closed the door. My wife didn't know. The kids was playing through the house. I never locked the door and closed it and shut them out. Because I've always trusted the gift. It doesn't bother me for you to come by the door and say, hey, Brother Dale, how you doing? And just don't stop and talk to me a long time because somebody else might want to stop. And that's what I tell you. If I had 500 people, I'd be the same thing. When I'm stop outside, tell me. I want to talk to you. I'll be glad to come back around. All right? And we'll talk. Why? Because I want to fellowship with everybody. All right? Because we're all offspring of God. Okay. Now, but listen. But Ryan said a minister ought to stay to himself sometime. He said God will change things. Okay. I had a line up this morning to go in, but I can't do it. Got to go this way. Okay. Forget it. We'll go this way. All right? Now, we're not going to get into the natural creation of man on the earth this morning. You know, the flesh man. We're going to deal with something that I mentioned, and I keep mentioning it to you, that God never starts anything as a baby. Right. He didn't start as a baby. Right. He started full grown. That's right. It was a full grown word. Amen. I really enjoyed the time we were down at, we used to go down to the Passion Play, and I enjoyed those. And they had one time there that I really enjoyed the beginning because what had happened was, and it was a story, but it was wonderful. But it showed what I believe. And it showed like a problem with the world and the things. You know, it was chaos and, you know, like, and then all at once out stepped a man. And that man stood there and he said, let there be. Well, the next part of the scene was because, you know, they started the scenes at different places. The next part of the scene was that it heard a baby crying, because that was when he was born on earth. But then the next part of it picked up to where he was at. And you know who it was standing there saying, "Let there be," was the same man that was portraying Jesus when he come on over into human flesh. And I thought, well, that's good. Amen. That clicked in my mind. Said somebody caught it. And you know what they put a thing on it and nobody else couldn't use it. They could only use it one time of that form and all. But I thought, that's good. Because I believe the Bible. The Bible says, Hebrews 1, John 1, Colossians 1, that all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who's it talking about? That's why Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Okay, you didn't get what I'm talking about." But said, "I'll build my church on that, but one day I'll come to it." And he did as the Son of Man in the last days. All right. But you see, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, John 1, all declares Jesus Christ to be the creator. And the Bible sums it up to make it perfect in Ephesians, 3 and 9, where it said, all things were created by Jesus Christ. Now, not the flesh.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus was the only name God ever had.
Amen.
So it's Almighty God. That's what Peter was recognizing. God built his church on a recognition of what? Not on Peter. Come on, we're Brother Branham reading it right. And not on the Protestants, on the Catholics and the Protestants and their idea. It's built on what? The revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right, why can't you think about the same one that created the world as to be standing there of the great one that we talk about, a theophany that Moses would see, and stand there and say, "Let there be," and "Let there be." What's the matter? Why can't you believe your God? Oh, but my God is a spirit. Well, that's okay. That's scripture. But what about the rest of the scripture? But see, God never started anything as a baby form. He started it full grown. All right. Now, so when it come to mankind and the creation, first off, see, the part of God as that beginning, those great words, Logos, Theophany, etc., shows that it's full grown to ourselves. He was totally full grown, but you and I are a part of him to make him the full grown. Right? Well, see, then when it becomes over into doing, then God just simply steps over in another form. He creates Adam, the flesh man, right? Then he breathes into the nostrils of that flesh man, and he becomes a living soul. They said, "Brother Branham, what connection does the Genesis 1 man have with the Genesis 2 man?" He said the Genesis 2 man is a Genesis 1 man made into manifestation.
Amen.
In other words, he just simply put the soul, the theophany, into Adam.
That's right.
He never made a baby and let him grow up. He started him full grown.
Amen.
He started him like he wanted it. He wants the church the way he started Adam.
Right.
If you're following me. What was Adam to be? Ruler of the earth. What was Eve to be? See, we want to leave that out, don't we? We want to try to make, we want the women just to be down just a little bit, you know, put them down. They're hamburgers and we're big old steaks. No. Why can't you believe that Adam and Eve was one?
Right.
Your prophet said they were in theophany.
Amen.
Then you know what? Adam and all of that could name all of the animals, right?
Right.
But you know there was one thing he was waiting on? He had no offspring. He might have had a wife that was part of him. Every way from theophany down to human flesh. But you know what? Adam still was lonely. He had a wife, but he couldn't display his desires that was within him. because he had attributes to be a father. Right? And you know what? He had to have Eve to do that. Come on, if you want to talk to anybody, go talk to my wife about it. I'm not no, what do they call that word? I don't never get these things right. But what do they call it when you're silly, you know, feminish? I've taught this from the beginning, folks, not because I'm 75 years old. A woman in her right place is a part of the man. But if she's in his wrong place, she's watering his blood, which is death. Be careful what you marry. Yes, sir. It reflects what you are.
Amen. Right?
Mm-hmm. Be careful what you do. Right? See, a man and his wife is supposed to be one.
Right.
Yeah?
Amen.
All right. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But now get the point. Adam, when he was created, he was created full grown.
Amen.
With that he had within him by eternal life being in his soul, he was able to name the animals. And he says, Habus, Corpus, Lucius, Pocus. You read all them big old long words. I don't think Adam called them that. You know, I think he said alligator, horse, cow. We put all them big old words on it to make it look good. He just called it a cow. You know. But you know what? What if he's looking at Eve and Eve, what if Adam looked over at Eve? Now, this is not in the book, so, you know, you just take your choice what you want to. What if Adam looked over at Eve and said, well, you want to call that one? Is there any problem? She was part of him. She was part of him in theophany. She was part of him in flesh. Well, you don't have no way to prove it. You don't have no way to disprove it. So go ahead. That's why I'm a smart aleck. I was talking to Brother Ray and him like that. You know what's so funny to me? Somebody comes up and you say something, they come up and say, I don't agree with you. That's why I've always said, if you're going to leave the church, fine. That's your business. Go where you want to. But come and talk to me first. And don't go talk to everybody else. Come tell me why you're leaving. Okay? Because I'll sit down and I'll talk to you because I'm not going to beat you to death to try to talk you into staying either because I want to leave the choice to you. Well, what's the problem? Why can't we just simply be people and just say, hey, because listen, folks, I'm the guy that's preached it. How many remembers what I preached on a fivefold ministry? The Bible said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That's what the Bible says. Now you explain that scripture. What's the best definition? He gave you what you need. What will carry you through? I thought Brother Branham said that your pastor was to carry you through. I thought he said them statements. I thought he made that. I'm not trying to build up a pastor or a minister or whatever. I'm trying to show you a truth of the Bible. Some people don't like to just sit down with a teacher and just grind and grind and grind and grind. They don't like it. Well, he gave some apostles. Go find you somebody that you can shout glory hallelujah with. When we get on the other side, we're going to shout. We ain't going to worry about it. I can't help it if I'm kind of dry and cut. But that's just me. That's why this church is not built on trying to get somebody to come here. I've always said, I didn't invite you to come. If you want to leave, you leave. I love you. I'll talk to you. I'll pray for you. I pray for the people that have left. Do you? No, I ain't praying for them because they left the word. Now, don't get that in your garbage can. You mind? Leave it right. Leave it the way I try to bring it. I try to be friends and love them with everybody. All right. Get that part out. Listen. But he started Adam full grown. You know, Brother Branham, according to blasphemous names, we've been over it and over. According to blasphemous names, Brother Branham said he breathed eternal life into Adam. Well, now, if he breathed eternal life into Adam, what did he put in Eve?
Amen.
Come on. What did he put in Eve? So he put into Adam and Eve that part that he was, or they was, because it's them, and their name was Adam, and they were full grown. You say, well, how could you sin? Let me ask you, how do you sin? Oh, I don't. Well, then we'll just have to read the prophet where he says we do. Then that's your problem. You know, that's your choice. I'll read them all, but just get the point. Adam started full grown. When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of eternal life, and he became, Brother Brown said, an eternal person. I've got them here if you want to read them. Brother Joe can pull them up if y'all want to read. Go ahead if you want to pull them up. Bruce, number 9. You can read it down through there. Of blasphemous names. You can read while I preach. Because he breathed into Adam's nostrils. He didn't breathe into every baby's nostrils. Because the rest of the babies started babies. Right? Adam and Eve didn't start a baby. They started full grown.
Amen.
And they were his pattern.
Right?
And he breathed into their nostrils. And they become a living soul. Hey, I see Joe. He's out here. So we don't worry about it. I told him not to worry about it. Listen. If you don't believe what Brother Branham says, then that's your business. Or if you don't believe the Bible, then that's your problem. You know, it's kind of odd that it would start off like that as an example. That the generations, because I got that, I'll bring it back, the generations, it says, of the heavens and the earth when they were created in Genesis. The generations, the beginnings. But you know what? One day this scene happened again. Because Jesus in John, about 20, one day he was talking to the disciples and he stopped. He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Remember the point there, you know, whose sins you remit, they're remitted, and whose sins are retained. You remember than John? Did he give them eternal life right then? No, that couldn't happen because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost had not been given. See, Jesus Christ had not been crucified, so they could not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you need these? I'll bring these later. But if you don't, Brother Branham on the message, the seal of Christ, preached in 1955, Jesus hadn't been crucified. The Holy Ghost hadn't come. All right? The revelation of Jesus Christ in 1960, 1204, doing the same works and things because Christ could not preach. Now listen to your prophet. Christ could not preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You think I ain't reading that? I am. Would be greater, he could not bring it to them because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Jehovah Jireh, 1961. Jesus could not preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It hadn't come yet. Amen. That's the greater works.
Right.
But remember, he said do the lesser works and then talk about the greater. Okay. All right. Here's a message. Getting in the Spirit, 1961. Jesus could not preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it had not yet come. There's a greater works. The church is to preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it was coming. The church has it. Art, are you with me? When the disciples heard this, you know, they were told what? And I've got it written in here. Be glad to give you. Brother Branham said that the Holy Ghost didn't come there right when he said that. He said that was a promise. See, because he'd not been crucified. Come on. He had not released the Holy Ghost to let it come. Because you got to release the soul. You don't just release the spirit. That's what everybody deals with. You got to deal with Jesus hanging on Calvary. That soul has to be taken from that body.
Amen.
And the spirit and the thing, fine. But the soul is the main thing.
Right.
Because there's the new birth.
Amen.
You can be anointed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit on your spirit every day of your life. What? And die and go to hell. But if you got the soul of God within you, eternal life, you cannot put you in hell because you'd have to put God in hell. All right. So Adam started full grown, born by the breath of God as he breathed into his nostrils. Read blasphemous names. When the day of Pentecost came, they were gathered in the upper room. And the fulfillment of the promise. Remember the disciples? I got a quote laying here. The disciples said, oh, I think we got it. And one of them said, hold on. We don't have what he was talking about. Because I'm still scared. I'm scared. I ain't going out there. Is that making it just plain language to you? I'm not leaving this room. I'm scared to death. But when that Holy Ghost comes, it's right out of the room. See, the Holy Ghost had not been given. Those Old Testament saints could be anointed. But their soul was still not. Don't worry about it. We'll cover those things. Because remember what Brother Branham said. He said, yeah, but you say blasphemous names. But you say Adam died. He said, before Adam died, he had a lamb. We got it in the right order. But just remember, when he started on the day of Pentecost, he didn't start with babies. Right? That's where the people can't understand Brother Branham. Brother Brown said, I met people that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost just exactly like on the day of Pentecost. And people say, oh, that couldn't be the Holy Ghost. I remember I told you I was talking to two brothers, and one of them said he had it, and the other one said he didn't have it. And I said, well, I'm in the middle because I'll just believe the truth and try to stay it. See, there's a split on the day of Pentecost, right? There was 120 in the upper room that had been tutored and trained. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they didn't receive the headstone love. No, they received the Holy Spirit. That's your prophet's words. But on the day of Pentecost, they received the new birth right here at the bottom. And the Bible calls it the earnest, the beginning. But see, on the day of Pentecost, the upper room, 120, began full grown for the day. Just as Adam was full grown. What's the difference in the day of Pentecost and Adam? Come on. What's the difference in the day of Pentecost and Adam? Adam was a man standing on earth. His body was created. Right? The soul was made to, the spirit was made to place within the man to where he could communicate and live. But his soul was eternal. All right, when he started on the day of Pentecost, what did he start with? Their bodies wasn't no worth nothing. Their spirits was problems. But the new birth came on the day of Pentecost into their soul. Amen. Brother Brown said he sent back the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the form, sent back the soul of God in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So then when he started the church on the day of Pentecost, he started it the way he wanted it. He wants it the way he started it. What is supposed to be our goal? The disciples were where it said Holy Spirit. Brother Brown said they had these virtues. Argue with him. Statue of a perfect man. But that was the 120 in the upper room. You don't find any of those novices outside writing the Word of God. You don't find none of them babies playing with the Word of God. It was those who were tutored and trained to be up into the place to be able to be full grown for their day. And that's where they were. Adam was full grown for his day. But yet he didn't have a body eternal. And we'll prove this afternoon he had a spirit that caused him problems. Because that's where the problem got to affecting. All right? But see, on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came, it made the disciples eternal. They could write the Word of God because they were not novices. But the bottom of the pyramid, when the 3,000 outside received it, they had only heard one sermon. And one sermon was all that could be quickened into their heart. So they started off as a babies.
Amen.
The Bible says, babes in Christ desiring what? The sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby.
Amen.
Why did Brother Branham have to preach the statue of a perfect man? Because, see, there's got to be another one. Everything in the Bible is in threes, right? Adam started full grown for the day. I use that word the way I want it used. So don't come up and say, well, Adam didn't have this or Adam didn't have that. I said full grown for the day. The disciples began on the day of Pentecost full grown for the day. They had the new birth. They had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They had those virtues. That's what your prophet says. But you see, you and I need them, so where can we get them? You ever notice Brother Branham in the way he states things? He said on the statue of a perfect man, 30-something years before he could preach that. Why? When you can go back in 1956 on the message, it used to be called Intervail. They've changed the title of it now. But it was Intervail. He said, God walking on 2 feet. God manifested in a person's life. He was preaching it all down through there. But he couldn't bring it in the way. He said, and I just got this. Read it. He said, I just got this to tie in with what I was wanting to preach on. Yeah. What did he get? How that those disciples had those virtues. That's what Peter was doing when he said, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Why? Because it's got to be another stature. I'm quoting out of Blasphemous Names where Brother Brown said it this way. He said, after that church is formed up into the place, he said, God will breathe on them. You want a type for it? How about the Valley of Dry Bones? How about Ezekiel 37? The Valley of Dry Bones. Because that's Israel, right? You know what? Israel's going to go through the journeys we're going through. So it's a perfect example. And in the Valley of Dry Bones, he said, what? He says, can these bones live? What did he tell him to do? What did he tell him to do? Paraphrasing our words, what did he use? Breathe on them. Prophesy was the word he used in the scripture. You know, but it says breathe on them. Brother Brown said, when that church is built up in that stature to where it's supposed to be, he said, God will breathe. He said it like this. The brother was quoting part of it last night. He said, God will do in 1 year what theologians tried to do in 2000, but said he's doing it now. But that's where our mistake is where we don't believe it. We do it like I was saying when I was talking a while ago. See, somebody, maybe I didn't finish it. Somebody say, you know, I say to Brother Donnie, I said, Brother Donnie, you're wrong. Well, he says, well, show me. Well, I can't show you, but I believe you're wrong. Now, that's dumb. That ain't even sensible. For me to tell a man he's wrong. But I don't know how you're wrong. I just know you're wrong. I just got a feeling. I had her ice run up down my spine, so I don't believe you. Have you ever served Brother Branham? Anybody come to him wanting to talk to him about where he's wrong? What'd he do? I don't remember ever him telling me that any of them ever left without having a correct understanding of what he believed. Right? Because you see, you got to have the example, son. Adam was the example. The 120 in the upper room was the example. Brother Branham was the example of this last days. I don't have no problems going with that. I love it. He had to come to that stature of a perfect man before he could teach anybody how to become there because the pattern had been lost. The pattern of the stature of a perfect man had been lost down through the ages, and no one understood what that would be. But here comes a prophet in the last days that had to grow in those things until he could come to a place that he could be the pattern messenger, right? That's right. Come on, get in the church age book and read on the pattern a little bit. That church back there was a pattern for you and I. The prophet had to come through those things. And he had to have those things in manifestation in his life. You ever noticed him, I believe it's in the stature of a perfect man, where he talked about, he said, them disciples, he said, they had the least little nod from God. And he said, I could get up and do, and I had a while, if you listen to him, he said, I went over there and said, I was fixing to do this. He said, I got a little nod.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. Why can't us dumb folks read? And one thing I can't understand, forgive me for saying this, and then I'll close and say, forgive me for being this dumb, but I can't understand. Brother Branham, as many times as he explained, the number of man is six. And he said, see there? See there, you got this messenger that come to Sodom and said, his name is G-R-A-H-A-M. He said, that's six letters. But he said, now that was just the man. Well, why didn't some body get up and say, what's your name? Well, my name is William Marion Branham. 777. Because he said we've only had the ones with the six. He said, but God's is a seven because that's Elohim. Right? Why didn't somebody jump up and start screaming and say, hey, this guy. And how many of you know the story? You know the full story of Brother Branham? His name was not Branham. His daddy changed his name. He changed the family name. It was like Braham or something like that. I forgot how they pronounced it. He added a letter to it and made it Branham. We know the whole story. You see, he was the pattern messenger. Brother Branham would call Paul the pattern messenger. What do you think Paul would call Brother Branham? Brother Branham brought the word of God, but listen to what I'm saying. In the valley of dry bones, he said, prophesy unto them. In other words, speak to them. What you doing when you speak? Put your hand in front of your mouth and just say a word and feel that coming out of you. Every time you speak, out goes air. No wonder it's the breath of God. No wonder you're born by the breath of God on the blasphemous name. Church, born by the breath of God. Amen. See, because it means somebody's growed up. Right. He began it with a grown man. He's going to end it with a grown man.
Yes, sir.
The man Christ Jesus living in you and I. Because who was it in the garden? The man Christ Jesus, the giving life to Adam as a human mortal. Right? Come on, let me say this for a minute, and you think about it, because you're going to argue with me on the point. But was Adam just body and flesh, and then God put his own life in him? That wouldn't make Adam. That would make God. I'm sorry. But see, Adam was a living, moving human being. The soul Adam. And then God put in the soul Adam his own life. You tell me how any other way it can be. Because if you'd make it just the flesh and the spirit, and then God putting his life in there, then that wasn't Adam. That was God. But see, Adam was body, spirit, and soul as a human being. And then God put his own life there. So when Eve was brought into existence of body, spirit, and soul, then God put his own life into her. When the church come forth on the day of Pentecost, it's body, spirit, and soul into the individual, right? There was 120 of those body, spirits, and souls laying in the upper room waiting for the Holy Ghost to come down in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the soul of Almighty God, your prophet said, come into them to give them eternal life. Not just an anointing, but the very person of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is to be in the end time when this bride is molded up, the prophet said, into that position? And says, when it is, just for a moment, now this is his words, he said, God is going to show her. Now, it ain't going to be a worldwide show, right? It ain't going to be every hospital in Hall County emptied. But I don't see why you can't go up there and pray for what you pray for. Right? I mean, did Brother Branham go from door to door in the hospital, door to door, door to door, every door he went in? No, when he was led to go, he went. Jesus didn't raise every dead person. Right? So what is it? What are you expecting, Brother Dale? What are you saying about this that we were quoting Wednesday? That's when these things started molding to make sure I'd bring it this way. What did the prophet say? When the bride realizes who she is, she's going to speak the word. Well, I just don't believe that because can't see it. You never will. It wasn't made for you. Right? Is that what the man said? He told Brother Brown, he said, I can't believe that. He said, well, that's okay. He said, it wasn't made for you. Only the predestinated is the one that's going to do. Only the ones with eternal life in their soul will be able to understand God and his word. The rest, what did the prophet say? Will take the word and put their own interpretation to it. And what did he say? And go off into sin. Now, that's pretty close to the quote. Brother Dale, what do you think is going to make it? What did the prophet say? Everybody in the message today, and I am too, we're looking for that life seed. I can give you a quote from Brother Branham. When that life seed comes in, we'll go out of here. I believe that. That's why we send money to the foreign fields to get these brothers to go to Vietnam, Cambodia, all of those places that we can't go. India, Jamaica, Philippines, to where they can go. Why? Because we're looking for the life seed. Amen. But what about them that are in? May I quote it to you? What? Is it the life seed? Or is it what the prophet said? He said, I only see one thing holding off the coming of the Lord. And what did he say that was? The readiness of the bride. Remember, the Bible still got to be right. They without us cannot be made perfect. So that means everybody is connected together, but somebody's going to reach that place. And when they do, then everything's connected to it. There won't be no novice, won't be no play parties. It'd be the Word of God. He began his church the way he wanted it. He began the people the way he wanted the people to be. Full grown. So what's he expecting us to be? Oh, but Brother Dale, you hurt my feelings. Well, sorry, honey. How many times do you think I got mine hurt? But I've told you something that stands with me and always will stand with me. The two men in this message that hurt me the most were the two men that helped me the most. You think I want to change that? No way. I give praise and honor and glory to where it comes from. Thank God that he used those two brothers to set me. One of them set me on the word, and that's it. The other one set me on a basis of that we've got to believe present tense understanding today. And got to have it real for now. Yes. Right. Yeah. But you see, he began his church the way he wanted it. He wants his church the way he began it. He began it in the book of Acts the way he wanted it. A man standing there, body, spirit, of a man, but eternal life within his soul. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost when they pulled into that upper room. Brother Brown, what did he say? He said 120 little seeds lay in the upper room waiting on that Holy Ghost to fall. But then it went down in just like it went down back with Adam and went down. It went down in the church ages. But it's got to come back in this end time to be the word of Almighty God made manifest in you and I. Amen. That's our part of the word. Come on, brothers. Amen. That's our part. He began it the way he wanted it. He wants it the way he began it. That's a good statement. Well, Brother Dale, you think you're the only one got the word? I ain't never taught that. Why would you think it? Do you think Lula's the only place? I ain't never taught that. Why would you think it? Because I've always tried to explain one thing. I believe the ministry of Jesus Christ is in the earth today. Exactly like it was in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Exactly like it was in the ministry of William Branham. But it's in a worldwide bride. Not in one person no more. Not meant to be. I thought the prophet said, spoken words are no seed, that this messenger would be pointing at the skies to a word-born bride at his coming. I thought he came to bring us a message, to bring us to perfection. What do you think about his message? Well, I think he's wrong here and he's wrong there, and we just can't believe in it. Well, okay. You told me what you think. Huh? The message is perfect. The prophet had flaws. Right? But the message he brought is perfect. The message is not something he preached that he had to correct.
No, sir.
The correction is the perfection. All right? Come on, let's stand together. What we got?
482 in the
Spiral Book. Anybody have a need? So I believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm a deeper power than I've ever dreamed.
Why? I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Who started this in the garden? God himself. Who's going to end it? God himself. But we're free moral agents. He gave us a right to choose what we want to be. So now our choice is to be made. What about it?
More power than I ever dreamed.
I'm burning. No service Wednesday night. Service will be Tuesday night. 7 o'clock. So keep that in mind. Because that'll help you. You're dismissed. Lord Jesus, be with the people as we go eat a message and bring us back this evening in you, in Jesus' name.
Sad, broken hearted at an altar in prayer, I found peace that is so serene, and all that he asks is a childlike trust and a heart.